Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids. Kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues. If you know someone who needs a referral for a therapist, for an inpatient or outpatient clinic, for school, the year is coming to an end soon. You may need a new school for your child, the yeshiva. Please give us a call. And our number is 718-758-0400. We offer parent support groups via Zoom and in person. So again, I'll say our number. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a loved one, or someone you sit next to, usually in shul. Our number is 718-758-0400. You can call anonymously. All calls are confidential. So tonight I have with us a very, very, very lovely human being, somebody that is so professional and creative and is an author, and that is, and a therapist, and that is Erica Curtis. She's an award-winning author of The Innovative Parent, Raising Connected, Happy, Successful Kids Through Art. She's also a marriage and family therapist. She's board certified art therapist. And I am so pleased to have you on tonight. Erica, thank you for coming on. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm doing well. And thanks not only for having me with you today, but also for everything that you do for the community.
Thank you. So you have a wonderful new book, The Innovative Parent. And I want to talk tonight about art therapy. So, Erica, why don't you explain to my listeners how art therapy is unique in helping people socially and or emotionally, please?
Absolutely. So when I think about art, I think the most simple way to think about it is actually the initials ART, or the acronym ART, because art allows us to access something from within ourselves. And it accesses parts of our mind that we don't normally access when we're only talking. And so it allows us to access into what we would call externalize or put outside of ourselves something about our internal world, our emotional world, our thoughts, our memories. And then the R stands for reflect. So then we can reflect on what's going on inside of us. Now we have an object, whether that's a drawing or a sculpture or a little pipe cleaner or something or other. And even with music therapists and dance and movement therapists and the other types of creative arts therapies, similarly, there's something we can reflect on, a movement, a song. And then we can start to gain some distance from our emotions. We can start to gain some new perspective on what's going on inside of us by reflecting on it. And finally, T, I think about being together. So art uniquely allows us to come together with others and share something that might feel more vulnerable in a safer way by talking about the art product rather than talking about ourselves. And we can even make art together, be witnessed through art in a way that's different than talking and being heard. So art therapy captures all of these elements of art and pairs it with psychological know-how in order to treat and resolve all types of issues, including mental health issues, stage of life issues, developmental issues. We work with the clients and the families in order to identify goals, and we use those powerful inherent qualities of art in order to further those goals.
So, Erica, Mask had offered in the past, we've had a group for siblings of at-risk youth. And the siblings the young, we had them for all elementary ages. We put them up first and second grade together, third and fourth grade together levels. And it was amazing what we learned from each child and how the parents were able to help their child through the art. So let's talk about art therapy. What is art therapy exactly? Because some parents, when we refer them for art therapy for their loved ones, they always say, well, my child is not artistic, or my child is clumsy with arts and crafts supplies. So let's talk about, do they need to be artistic? And in general, what ages and needs are typically helped by art therapy?
Those are wonderful questions, and you're absolutely right. There are a lot of misunderstandings about art therapy. Some people think art therapy is actually therapy for artists, or that we need to have some sort of artistic proclivity or interest in order to benefit. And in fact, art therapy is used with all ages, well into adulthood, and all types of different needs. Now, if a child or a parent is not particularly artistic or creative, that's absolutely okay, because a lot of what art therapy accesses is the process of art making rather than the product. Now, we do use the product in order to reflect and gain new insights, or to help the individual reflect on their creations in order to gain insights. But a lot of what art therapy does is use the different media and the process of art making in order to meet all types of goals. The aesthetics or the beauty or the outcome really doesn't matter so much. We often actually explain to clients that it's not art class, the art's not going to be hung up on the walls, that really it's a different way of communicating, which is what we really want to emphasize. It's a way to communicate with others and a way to communicate with ourselves. If you think about it, when the brain is under stress or under heightened emotions, we actually have seen brain scans that show us that the thinking and language parts of the brain are negatively impacted. So we're not able to take in verbal language as well, and we're not able to access our own language as well. We also have a harder time problem solving. But the brain stays open to sensory input through the visual cues, through sensory cues like tactile touch. And so we can still communicate using the arts even when our language centers of the brain are impaired.
So let's talk about how the parents can use the art at home to connect or communicate with their children, please.
Absolutely. And that's really what the book that I wrote is founded in. I'm a parent myself of three children, and I found that I was getting frequently frustrated trying to communicate verbally with my children at home during heightened moments of stress. And then I had this insight one day that at work with my clients, I'm always using the arts in order to help people communicate, connect with one another, express their emotions. But at home, as a parent, I kept trying to talk to my kids when they were upset, and they were having a really hard time responding to that. So that gave me the brainstorm that I could start applying art therapy techniques in the home as a parent and see what would happen. And I found, as a parent myself, a lot of success, and I wanted to share that information with parents all over. So an example would be a child might be upset for some reason, and rather than trying to verbally communicate with those with that child in that moment, that we could even take out our phones and pull up emojis, whether that's through your text messages or going into Google and finding an emoji chart. And we can simply invite the child to point what emoji is happening for them right now. I like to use the word of feelings visit us. And so I might say to my child, I wonder what feeling is visiting you right now, or even which of these characters has something to say right now. And that's a nice example of a starting point in order to branch out from there and understanding what's happening for that child.
Absolutely. And the book is wonderful. You wrote that book that helps parents and professionals. You know, understand and access more the power of art to help children. Let's talk more about the book. Give us a little, information about your different chapters in the book, please.
Sure, absolutely. And so in the beginning, we talk a lot about the research behind using the arts in order to enhance emotional, social, and cognitive skills in children. And then we go into, just like the title says, raising connected, happy, successful kids through art. We have a chapter on connection. We have a chapter on helping children deal with emotions. And we also have a chapter on academics and how the integration of the arts can help children cognitively and in school. And then we talk about troubleshooting common issues that come up with parents, such as you mentioned before, not feeling creative, not liking the mess that's involved in making art, and how we can get a little bit more comfortable. I think somewhere in there, we even talk about the parallels between the messiness of art and the messiness of life. There's a lot of beautiful metaphors that come out of art making, and that we as parents can even benefit from making art with our children, even if we don't feel artistic.
Right. So let's say there's a parent that a child has a very difficult emotion. Would you mind giving the parents, like a little example of how they might use art to help their child?
Absolutely. So I also think about art as a balance between expression and containment. And I think that's one of the key goals or learning experiences we're trying to instill in children as they're growing up, which is, how do we express ourselves to others, to ourselves, in the world, in a way that also doesn't overwhelm that child overwhelm people around them, right? So how can we express ourselves in a way that feels emotionally safe and physically safe also, that respects boundaries, and that doesn't make the child feel like they're being so overwhelmed by their own emotions that it feels intolerable. And so a couple different ways that we can do that is, we can invite the child, if they're having a big feeling, say, I wonder what that would look like on paper. Would you mind showing me a scribble of that feeling? How big is the feeling? Do we need to tape two pieces of paper together, for example? And so it's giving that child a containing space of the paper in order to safely express just how big that feeling feels inside of them. And then if we wanted to take that a step further, after the child made the scribble of that feeling, whatever it might be, then we can start to teach the child about how we can do something with feelings when we have them, how we can transform them. And so one way to do that with a scribble is to start to look at the scribble and find shapes or patterns and start to add color and just allow images to emerge. I like to think of it like looking for shapes or pictures in the clouds. And so then what happens through that process is the child might actually find that their emotional state starts to shift as well, because now they're practicing a lot of skills such as shifting their focus, looking outside the box, thinking creatively about what am I going to do with this emotion. And so it's exercising all different parts of the mind in that moment, which are really subversively teaching that child emotional regulation skills.
You know, we talk about child, we mentioned both you and I, but I really want to start to focus on teenagers, because that's a whole different breed. How can families, how can parents encourage teenagers to use art, for their emotions when they want to have meaningful discussions that can't happen by a teenager?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And we go into this in the book as well. Throughout the book, we have activities, and we actually decided to designate activities with a C or a T for child or teen. And we include adaptations for teens, because you're absolutely right. They are a whole different beast. Now, one thing I think is important for parents to remember is that with any activity that we present with a teenager, we might get an eye roll, we might get a sigh, and that's okay. I might even say, if a teenager says, that's lame, I don't want to do that, or does an eye roll, I might even show them the emojis and say, so how lame is it? Which one of these thinks I am so lame, or that this idea was so terrible? And that we can just go with that, because the idea is to get curious about whatever their feeling is in the moment, even if the feeling is resistance to our ideas. Right. But there's lots of ways that we can approach teens. Teens are so creative. They are putting themselves out there in the world in the way that they dress creatively, in their social media posts, in the music that they choose to listen. And so one way to start getting creative and curious with teens is to start with the ways that they're already expressing themselves creatively in the world. And instead of telling them that we don't like their social media post, or how could you possibly be wearing that, that what teens really crave and what we as adults need to start with before we try to communicate with teens is to connect with them. And so the principle is connect through creativity before trying to communicate with teenagers. So we can get curious about their posts. We can get curious about what they're wearing and what it means to them. And that's simply done by asking them questions. Tell me about this. I'm wondering what this means to you. How did you come up with this idea for the social media post, for example? What's your favorite social media post? Do you have a favorite song right now? What do the lyrics mean to you? Because this still aligns with the principle of ART, accessing something inside of themselves to express something about themselves and their identity, inviting them to reflect upon that while you're together in that relationship.
So what would you like to say to the parents that are listening, that are intrigued by these ideas, and they themselves don't feel very creative or artistic?
I would encourage them to start with just one, sort of setting an intention for one new or different creative approach that they could use this week. It might feel a little uncomfortable, but even doing something new in our parenting and experimenting, I think can really serve not only us, but our relationships with our children, because children will see that we're trying, even if they're not immediately responsive to it. There's also an element of surprise, I think, when parents try something new instead of, come here, I want to talk to you. If this week, at least once, we say, come here, I'd like to try something with you, or I'd like to do something with you, or show you this picture that I just drew. Even if the parent's drawing something themselves with stick figures and wanting to sort of illustrate an interaction that just happened. So I would say just try something. And even if the child is surprised, or your teen is surprised and shocked, that could be really beneficial, because what you're doing is you're introducing a new opportunity for a new interaction or a new type of interaction.
And Erica, art doesn't necessarily only have to be markers and paint and crayons. There are other ways of doing art therapy as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. In the home, that might look like cooking together. That might look like creating a new arrangement or starting a new tradition of gathering things in the house or outside and making a centerpiece for the meal table. That could look like, as I mentioned before, talking about the arts that your family already engages in, such as listening to music. It can be redecorating a bedroom. And that there's lots of different ways in the home that we can think about being creative together.
And I do want to say that MASC has adult coloring books, which are very relaxing for the parent. And anyone interested in getting one of those for free, donation requested, feel free to give the MASC helpline a call at 718-758-0400, and we will mail one to you. I do want to say that some of the art therapists, Erica, are having the children paint the masks that one wears now, you know, the face mask. Yes, the name of our organization is MASK, and it's our 24th year we're doing this. But, you know, the mask that we're wearing during COVID. So there are children in art therapy that now are decorating the masks. And you could do that with your family member at home and just, you know, talk about what you want to feel and be seen feeling outside when people see you. So where do art therapists generally work? If you can share that, please.
Sure. Art therapists work in all different settings. If you're looking to find an art therapist, art therapists are registered art therapists, so you can look for the initials ATR after the name, or ATRBC, which means that there's a registered art therapist who is also additionally board certified. There are a lot of therapists who might use art therapy, but that they have not received the master's level education in art therapy specifically. And so looking for the ATR, the ATRBCs helps ensure that you are receiving art therapy by an art therapist who has been credentialed. And if you're looking for an art therapist specifically, you can go through the American Art Therapy Association or look into one of your local chapters.
MASK and refers to the local religious Jewish therapists that are locally. We have art therapists, so if anyone wants, feel free to give us a call at 718-758-0400. Erica, I do want to just include the idea of around holidays or soothing a child or an anxious child before they're traveling, or, you know, kids that are ADHD, how is art able to be helpful to those parents to do with their children prior to them going on a long trip or an activity that may give them anxiety?
That's an excellent question. And so there's a couple different ways that we could approach that. One would be to help the child to certainly express their feelings through art, start with, and to learn that it's okay to have those feelings. If the child is anxious, they might draw, for example, what that anxious feeling would look like, what it's saying, what it believes about, for example, flying or traveling, and then coming up with a helpful thought or feeling in drawing that. And what would that helpful feeling say to anxiety? And what there is developing what we call reassuring self-talk. And so the child can start to rehearse reassuring words that they could give to their own anxiety. They could also use art to create a little toolbox or a little activity box. They could put, for example, they can make a little balloon full of beads or beans that they could squeeze while they're on their journey. They could include maybe even some drawing materials that they would want to put in their little kit. But they could come up with different ideas of things that would help to soothe them, and they could practice using them before they go on the trip that then they can take with them and use while they're actually traveling.
One more question I have, and that is, what about the parents? There are parents that struggle with communication with each other. I'm wondering if you could just touch on adult art therapy.
Absolutely. When I work with adults, oftentimes what I find is that if we stay within the realm of talking to each other, we have such well-rehearsed patterns of communication, and often those are well-rehearsed conflict and of not listening to one another and not really expressing that we're hearing the other. And when we go onto the paper, even if adults don't feel comfortable drawing, even if they just write down a couple words and really get to the heart of what they're trying to communicate to each other, and then to share with one another what they put on the piece of paper, that again, we're starting to change that pattern of communication and hopefully increasing the ability to listen to one another. If I can share with my spouse a drawing that I've done and that we can look at that drawing together, again, even if it's little stick figures or just symbols, this circle represents me, this square represents our child, that then we can look at something together and hopefully join in the discussion of what I'm experiencing or what my partner's experiencing. My co-author, Ping Ho, actually shares a story about an interaction she had with her own husband, where he used one of our own strategies in a conflict with her, that he drew an emoji and wrote how he was feeling and slipped it under the door to her office at home where she was working. And she said that she just felt so touched by his gesture and also learned something about how he was feeling that she hadn't realized before, because drawing it had allowed him to express a more vulnerable feeling that she was then able to physically receive. And then she was able to have a rapport with him.
Well, thank you, Erica. It's wonderful having you on. Such an important topic. Art therapy is really something that more people should take advantage of. You have this wonderful book that's out that anyone can go on to Amazon and purchase. And it's The Innovative Parent, Raising Connected, Happy, Successful Kids Through Art. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. And again, thank you so much for the service that you give to the community, especially during this last year. Mental health needs are such on the rise, and it is a real honor and privilege to be able to speak with you and your group today.
Thank you. Stay well. And I want to wish everybody a lovely evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And let's always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is L'Zech Nishma Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe and Rivka Bas Yisrael. Please go online to massparents.org and make a donation so that we could continue with these wonderful programs. Thank you and have a good night.